Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Now, the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, was given approval to publish the Affordable Housing Bill at a cabinet meeting on a Tuesday. Now, to unpack some of this and maybe make some sense of the bill for us, I'm glad to be joined by Frances O'Hanlon from FOH Finance in Clonmel. Frances, good morning to you.
Hi, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. A lot of confusion about this, Frances. Could you maybe simplify it for us? It has four parts, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think the confusion is all the to-do as well around vulture funds and
Cooking funds, and that.
Yeah, and look, it's nearly like putting things, I always say to my own kids, even over the years, double bag, double check. Mm. So it's like that they put a whole load of things into the bag, double knot at the top of it, and then realised when they went to lift it, they didn't stitch the bottom. That's the only way I can describe it. So I would say, to be fair, the affordable housing scheme and the affordable rent scheme, you know, in principle is great because at least it's something. Mm. Like, just to put it into context, it's not a huge amount. Like, they were saying, I think I saw one figure because there's various figures, and the fine detail isn't there yet, Fran.
Yes, yes,
but,
of course.
You know, they're talking about 6,000 houses over units over 4 years. Now, I think that's probably in relation to the local authority side of things. Mm. So, again, we don't know, but as you say, I think in, from what I'm looking at, it's really in two parts. First of all, there's the buy, okay, in that you can buy an affordable home. Now, this is nothing new. There are certain elements that are new, but there was an affordable housing scheme there in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, which, you know, we did a few mortgages for clients and they worked out really well.
This was before the crash, of course.
This was before the crash. So basically, this is about buying an affordable home. So first-time buyers will be given that opportunity in new schemes as well, which I think is important. I mean, I don't see many new schemes at the moment, but hopefully they will come to pass. And they can either buy the affordable home on houses built on local authority land in a local authority scheme or in private developments. Mm. Okay? So basically, this is trying to get to the people that just simply can't. They're working, they're earning, they just simply cannot get onto the property ladder because it's escaping them because property prices are going up and up and up. And they just can't, as quick as they're trying to get the deposit together and salary multiples and everything else, is just escaping them. So this is an opportunity for them to try and buy. Mm. So under the buy section, basically, what I don't know is the detail. Like, do the individuals have to put down a percentage themselves? Let's say that they don't, right? Which would seem, you know, maybe a lack of commitment. But let's say that they don't. And the government then have the ability to buy into that property for the individual. So if they feel, you know what, this is still too much for us, we still don't qualify for the amount that we need, the government can step in and take up to 20% equity in that house.
Yes.
Okay? So basically, from what I understand, the individual, let the cap in Tipperary, and we're just going to take it because it's simpler, is 225,000. Mm-hmm. Okay? So say an individual says, okay, I can actually qualify for a mortgage in the bank of, say, 180,000, right? And they have a small deposit themselves. Technically, then, the government could say, okay, well, look, you know, if they say they had a 10,000 deposit, it might be that that's sufficient. But if not, the government have the ability to go in and say, look, we'll give you 20%, up to 20%, we'll take up to 20% equity in this property to allow you to qualify for this mortgage.
Right.
Okay.
And this is the part I don't understand. Well, there's loads I don't understand. But that equity then that the government takes on, that has to be paid for.
Yeah, look, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Yeah. So the bottom line is, from what I understand, and again, remember the devil's in the details, right? But from what I understand at the moment, that will be for all the world at 0%. that equity element from years 1 to 5. From years 6 on, then an interest rate will be payable.
Right.
But it's like an interest-only loan for all the world. So rising to, say, from year 6 on, 1.75%. So if the government had basically 25,000 equity in your house, and from year 6 on, you're paying 1.75% interest, which is basically, if that's interest only, that's €437 a year. Okay?
Right.
And then it rises from year 6 to 15, it goes to 2.14%, and, you know, so on so forth.
But
so,
you're paying this in tandem with your mortgage.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Fran, that's not my concern in that, okay, it's an equity, it allows people to buy in, possibly people that wouldn't have been able to get on the property ladder, and technically the home is their own with a part share of the government. The question is, when eventually, how will they eventually pay that equity back? So that's the fine detail. Would that individual have the ability, say, after 5 years, 10 years, to raise a further mortgage and go and get rid of the government element? Now, would that make sense? I don't know. Why would you raise money in a bank and pay, you know, full interest and principal versus, you know, staying at your interest only and maybe saving alongside it, if you could, to eventually clear out the equity element? Some people might be happy to leave the equity element there. So I think that, I suppose, the intent is good. You know, there's pros and cons to all these things, and the question would be, is this enough? I suppose probably no.
But Francis, can the existing Help to Buy tax break, can that be imposed on this as well?
It can, and that's one thing to remember. It can, but let's not get excited here, because this scheme is supposed to be gone at the end of this year. So how many new houses are going to be coming up that would give somebody the time opportunity to both avail of the affordable housing scheme and to avail of the Help to Buy? I think, unless they're going to extend it. Now, they've already extended and extended and extended, and they've kind of said this is it for the Help to Buy scheme at the end of this year. But I wouldn't be hanging my hat on that. I think we have to just look around us and see how many new housing schemes are going up. I just think people probably, brilliant if you can get in on it, but I think people maybe need to focus more
on... But Francis, even the 6,000 affordable homes that you're talking about over 6 years, I mean, that's what is that? That's only about 6% of the housing need. So it's only a drop in the ocean, really.
Yeah, and again, I suppose, look, there's different elements to this in that in a scheme now, any new schemes that are built, 20% has to be allocated to either affordable housing or social housing, okay? So they can switch between those two areas, but 20% must be allocated. But again, Fran, it's a drop in the ocean. I mean, if you speak to any of the builders, and I heard Tom Parlin speaking there over the last couple of days, the cost of building, that's what they're saying is the problem at the moment. The cost of the land, the cost of materials, everything is going up and up and up. So, like, I don't know, you know, is that situation going to resolve with this? No, but I suppose it is an element. I mean, the big concern here is, and I've heard this shouted from heights, is this going to actually make the situation worse? Is this, you know, pouring petrol onto flames?
Will it drive prices up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is a big concern. But again, I think we've got a very broken housing situation. So it's very, very hard to know what to do. But this situation, even with the vulture funds being allowed to do what they were doing, so they come out and make, you know, big trumpeted announcement. And look, it is, in fairness, the elements of it are very good, possibly, and I put that in inverted commas. But, you know, then the vulture funds are able to go in and buy 153 houses in the estate above a minute. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's kind of, you know, caressing somebody on one side of their face and giving them a slap on the other side. It just doesn't
Sense. I see the headline in The Examiner today, total ban on vulture funds on the cards. And still I heard Pascal Donoghue yesterday saying that couldn't happen, that they were part of the suite of housing supply.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how they're going to unravel this because basically they're curtailing them. I don't know. They're going to have to do something because this can't happen. Yes. I mean, there is no doubt it doesn't make an ounce of sense.
Is this an issue of ideology, Francis? Going down a certain path of ideology as opposed to just building houses like was done, I suppose, in the 30s and 40s?
Yeah, and maybe that's, look, I suppose, again, if you're looking back here and you're looking at people's ability to own their own home, that became very, very much the thing in the 80s. I mean, an awful lot of people of old rented their homes and they paid rent that was relative to their means, and they lived in the house and they were happy to have a roof over their head and they raised their families, blah, blah, blah. And then come along the 80s, and this was a kind of a Thatcher thing as well in the UK, where people were allowed to buy their own homes and own their own homes, and kind of that's where a lot of the problems arose. In that all of a sudden then, I mean, if looking across even the UK, look at Dublin, where properties, you know, that were very prime location, but they were local authority, all of a sudden were owned by individuals.
Of course, yes. And then the authority sold off its stock, essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, and the one thing we didn't mention here was the cost rental scheme, right, which is the other part of this bag, for want of a better word. And that's basically about giving people property that the rents are kind of going to be around a minimum, of 25% below market value.
So it's cost only, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. But again, you know, define cost only. Like, where's the affordability in that? I think there's a lot of things that need to be ironed out, and I know there's details to come. But I suppose, Fran, look, the bottom line is this: it's very, very broken. Even if I'm looking at towns in Tipperary, there's the same multiples of people chasing the same few houses.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's a lack of supply there at the moment. The builders are saying we can't build, it's not worth our while, the margin's not in it. And then you've got the government, I suppose, trying to do something, but again, you know, bringing people in the front door, but forgetting that the doors are all open at the back, and that's where the vulture funds problem arose. So I think it was just bad timing, but I think maybe it was good timing. Maybe they now need to sit down and have a real look at this, which you would expect they would have done, and try to do something to sort out that situation with the vulture funds in some way. But I think that's going to be difficult enough.
Yeah.
They need to build. Houses need to come on stream. I think the figure is around 35,000 a year that's required. You know, it was already in difficulty pre-COVID. COVID just stopped it pretty much completely. We're so far behind here. It's going to take years to build up a stock, be it on any of these elements, if that makes sense.
There was a piece in one of the English papers yesterday, and you know, it could easily be the issue here as well. I just bring it to you. It's just a few lines, Francis, but it's very interesting. It says here, in 1965, I was a fireman earning £1,000 a year. I bought a house for £3,500 with a mortgage of three times my salary. Today, that very ordinary property is valued at £650,000.
Yeah.
So a buyer would need a £50,000 deposit, an income of £200,000 a year. Yep. And this shows really the utterly impossible situation for young people out there now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, a similar model, not to the same numbers, but, you know, I suppose relatively same situation in Ireland. I mean, when you've got people that are working that cannot afford, as a couple, even two of them working, bearing in mind back in the day maybe there was only one working, but when you're looking at two people working who can't afford to buy a house, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect, and there's a disconnect between salaries, and there's a disconnect between property prices, and I don't know how they're going to fix it. But I suppose if you look at natural, you know, economics, and you'd say supply and demand, you know, should fix these matters, but the supply isn't there because nobody will take a chance on it, and the banks won't take a chance on the builders because everybody is super cautious over after what happened before. But yet then this is where this comes into play. This is where the central bank have pulled back, and they haven't approved this on the affordable side yet.
In fact, they had some criticism of it yesterday as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a bit like, you know, those concerts you hear announced terms and conditions and subject to license. It's a little bit like that because the central bank are all over this, because here they are putting in salary multiples and net disposable earnings and really tightening matters so that people, this couldn't go mad again. But basically what's happened is an awful lot of people are left out, that they can't buy property. Like, I was looking at some and I was trying to get through to some of the numbers, the nitty-gritty. And on one particular article I saw yesterday, they were talking about a salary, like say they were looking at Tipperary, where somebody would want to be on €45,000 a year to get the 225. That's a multiple of five. You know, that's not within the rules at the moment. So that's why I think, again, the devil is in the detail. I think as this washes out, I know the old scheme, and I'm just saying this old scheme, I was trying to rattle my brains as to the what were the rules. I think you could borrow 97% finance at the time. And I think that there was a cap on the, you know, the maximum income you could be earning to avail of it. And basically, it was still subject to bank lending criteria or county council mortgage lending criteria. So I'd be interested to see that detail as to how that's going to translate in giving, you know, people affordable homes, as we call it. But look, what I would say to people in the meantime is keep saving, keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, hopefully some of these matters will come to pass, but I think there's a lot of choppy water to get through in the meantime.
Hopefully so, but I mean, with the affordable build, I mean, the local authorities, Francis, would need to begin now.
You know? Absolutely.
I mean, immediately.
You know, they need to begin 10 years ago, truth be told. So, I mean, there's a price for pulling back from all of those basics that, you know, an economy and a modern economy should have done. And now here we are.
Yes.
And we have a whole, we've wraps of people. Like, I heard Micheál Martin being grilled last night and saying, you know, are the county council going to be at the receiving end of those 153 houses? And he said, no way, basically, that there would be no county council behind this, because I suppose the concern here is, you know, this vulture fund came in, bought the 153 houses, and they rent them back to the local authority. Why? Because there's no affordable rental properties, and there's people who are on the housing list that have nowhere to live. So you've this vicious circle going on. I don't know what it needs.
The only good thing is that now everybody's talking about this, Francis. Do you know what I mean?
Everybody was talking about it before, and, you know, talk is cheap, Fran, as well. I just hope that there's enough pressure on, like, what just strikes me is, I mean, all the gurus and the advisors in government, why did nobody see that the vulture funds have the ability to go in and buy 153 houses, and to, you know, and whatever they did in Dublin, and dipping into the second-hand market from what we're hearing as well, to basically, you know, put people that want to buy homes, you know, citizens that want to buy homes out in the cold, where they're forced into a further inflated rental situation.
Look at what we allowed these vulture funds to do where NAMA was concerned, for example. You know? When we look back on this in decades to come, it's going to be, you know, laughable, I suppose.
Well, look, I think magic wand, not one, but maybe one in each hand is required at this stage, Brad, because something needs to give. I mean, I know in Tipperary we need houses, but the other thing is, what about people that don't want to live in towns? And, you know, where there's, because these are new houses. What about people that want to live in a rural park? Because we're talking about the resettlement of rural areas in Tipperary.
But, of course, that's a whole other huge argument,
you know,
that the one-off housing is now completely frowned upon. And, you know, they want people to live in villages and towns and, you know.
Yeah, but what help for those people that wanted to buy a second-hand cottage and were willing to do it up over time? And, you know, where's the help for those people? So I just think, look, time will tell, Fran. But as you say, look, hopefully there's enough, you know, bin lids being banged off the ground at this point that, you know, somebody might...
It was strange you mentioned that point there, because we have a text in at the very same time saying that there's plenty of cheap houses around that need a bit of work. There's plenty of living accommodation above shops in every town and city and villages in Ireland. We just need to be creative.
Yeah, but Fran, didn't we speak about this before?
Yes.
Remember we were talking about, you know, town centres?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go very far. Any town in Tipperary, there's, you know, commercial units, retail units empty. You know, what about rethinking this? What about putting some nice, you know, town housing in the towns that will then in turn generate a demand for a local shop or, you know, I just think we need to rethink the whole thing.
All right, Frances, always a pleasure. We gave you very little notice with this, Frances, and thank you so much for putting that together for us. Thank you, Frances, and
thanks,
bye-bye to you now. Frances O'Hanlon there of FOH Finance in Clonmel. 1800 938 007. Back in a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.